Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 26, 2017. Vision Day. I meet with a board member, I guess in an hour or two. We'll see exactly when that all comes together. But thank you for arriving. And I was throwing some of these visionary statements. What do you think about this? And getting your feedback and fine-tuning this listing, 4 pages worth of thoughts as I look at this radio ministry and try to dream and figure out God's leading and plan for the future. And thanks for your input and involvement with this radio ministry. You and some of the other staff are referred to. How can we continue to utilize the gifts that Jason has and others that are helping this radio ministry? And appreciate your involvement, your assistance, and your advice and counsel and help and being with me today.
Well, it's interesting, right? I mean, when we think about that vision, you know, we always have to think about what is our perspective when we come to do vision. I know for us at the church all the time, we're asking that question. We're saying, okay, we think we want to do this. Now, what do we have to do? And it reminds me of when I was reading recently in the book of Galatians, how Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?" And that's always such an important verse for me, because I think that so often we want to please men. We get around men and women. We get around people. People support the ministry. And so we go, okay, is this a good idea? Is this a good idea? Is this a good idea? And so often, in my own admission, in my own repentance, I would say, that I forget to lay that before God first, you know, because I want to see if everybody else likes it. But what does God think? Because Paul says, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I wouldn't, he says, be a servant of Christ. And so Paul seems to think that if you're a man pleaser, you're somehow forgetting about Jesus Christ. And it is his. You know, it's so interesting because a friend of mine who's a missionary, he was telling me that he got around a table with a guy who had been a long-term supporter of his ministry. And my friend was saying, hey, you know, this is what I think God is calling us to do, and this is what I think God would love us to do. And this guy said, well, I disagree with you, and as a supporter of your ministry, I want you to know that. And my friend, he said, and I really have to applaud him, he said very boldly, he says, you may support my ministry, but the ultimate support of my ministry comes from the Lord. The strength and the guidance and the leading and everything that keeps us. You simply provide some of the funding that helps this ministry do what it needs to do. But God is the one who supports it, because he's the one who holds it up.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just think about that when it comes to vision. I know so often we want to know what everybody thinks or what that. But knowing you and knowing your heart, I know that you've already probably prayed over that list often. And so when you're offering that to say, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? I know that you probably already said, Lord, what do you think about this?
Well, and I haven't consulted anyone, so it's been really a lot of, the scary thing is it's a lot of me in it. And so, hopefully it's me because of the voice of the Lord.
Sure.
But I haven't been swayed. And I do want to do a shout out. It gets me thinking. We have been so fortunate, I guess the better word is blessed, these 21 plus years. And it's something that our board from day one said, that we never wanted there to be any influence on programming by people that say, hey, if I give a $10,000 gift or if I do this, can you air this program or do this? And in these 21 plus years, I've never once even felt like somebody was saying, I'm giving this gift with these strings attached or because of this or to further this. Never once, never ever. And so we've been very blessed, and we've never held those share-a-thons or fundraisers or had business underwriters that said, well, I'll give you such and such amount of money if you'll do this. We've just never, ever. We've been very fortunate that all the bills have been met by the generous donations that are ongoing or special gifts. And we've had some every gift is significant,
sure,
but some sizable gifts that never once, recently, it's a whole God story that you know about, but a couple I met with and basically wanted to present a gift to the station, and I was thinking it was probably going to be a couple thousand dollars just because of some track record and past history. And it was very sizable, and I was just like, what's the Lord thinking here?
Yeah.
And they said, this isn't our money. Yeah. This is what the Lord told us to give you. This is just something that it's his to begin with, and we just felt like he told us to give it to you. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, is a transmitter going to go down? You don't want us to just put this in a bank account so we feel good about ourselves.
Sure, sure.
There must be something around the horizon or something around the bend. And so it's been the history of these broadcasts. Okay, Lord, where are you leading us? But you made some interesting points earlier today as I was talking about the vision, is be careful that you're not doing so many things that you get diluted. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've tried to remember, is when people say, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you launch this? And I thought, well, all those things are nice ideas, but it would dilute our primary focus, the educate, edify, and evangelize. And I think with the international ministry outreach and the singing men and the theater troupe and a few other things, I think we're probably right where we're at, or at capacity, where I think anything else would begin to dilute, or even focusing on the things that we're doing, how do we do it better, more intentionally, or more proficiently.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been an interesting kind of week or two working through the vision and where do we see ourselves 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. And it'll be great today in a few hours to talk that through and then go back to the board and see how everyone feels about it.
Well, you know, I mean, it is difficult because when you do that, I mean, when you cast vision, you have to kind of say, okay, what is this about? Is it about me? Is it about what God wants to do? And that's why I love what Paul is doing here in the first chapter of Galatians, because prior to that, now Paul's talking about the gospel. But what Paul says is he says, even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one I preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and now say again, if anyone's preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. And so what Paul starts by doing is he starts saying, there's these other guys. And I think that we're really good at doing that. We're really good at saying, but there's this stuff out here. But then Paul actually has, I would say, the audacity, and I like it that he does this. He says, now what about me? Because he says, for am I seeking the approval of man? And so he says, I see these other people out there and these other things happening out there. But what about, I have to look at my own heart too. And so not only does Paul gauge and rate the external, but then Paul also turns it and addresses the internal, his own heart and what his own motivations are for doing that. And I think that, you know, when we vision and we look at what the future looks like and we think about that, you know, what is it that God wants to do? Because, you know, nothing, whether it's a donation or whether it's somebody who serves or whether it's an idea or whatever, nothing comes by chance. I mean, we don't believe in happenstance. We believe in providence. So God is continually opening up doors and creating opportunities. And some opportunities, though, I mean, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. So some opportunities are opportunities, I think, where God goes, you probably, to stay on mission, are going to have to say no to that.
Right.
You know, and that's where the Lord is testing us and refining us. There was a book I read a number of years. This is a long time ago. Gosh, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. And the only thing in the whole book that stuck out to me was the guy who wrote the book said he would carry around with him an index card everywhere he went, and it was his don't do list. Hmm. And so when somebody would come up in the church and say, I have this great idea, Pastor, he would take out the card and he would go, I love your idea, but we can't do it because it will violate or dilute the primary mission that we have. And he said he had to keep that going. He said, because there are hundreds of great ideas that people have and that come across your doormat. The problem is that there's not enough rooms in your house to host everything everybody wants to do.
Well, we had an idea yesterday, and whether this germinates or comes to pass or can be worked out, it seems like it's a pretty simple, straightforward thing, but we have a listener that has thousands, maybe 10 or 20,000 plus Legos, and he's willing to donate them to the station. And we were talking about, oh, maybe we'd have a Lego day or something where the children could come build something and take it home with them. And maybe there'd be a unique T-shirt that the children could wear. It's somewhat evangelistic, and it would be a Great News Radio Lego Day at Lincoln Square. And we'd take these 10,000 Legos and put them all into some piles or boxes and then allow the children to come and gather and put something together. And so it's like, oh, that's kind of a unique, fun idea. Maybe it could be an evangelistic outreach. Maybe it could be a way of getting parents with their kids and some fun time, play time. I mean, you could see a lot of good things. Now, is it something we're going to do? Not sure, but it was kind of a novel idea and could be successful. And you could find a couple of people that say, hey, I'll volunteer and I'll do this aspect of it. And so then it's just a matter of setting a date and getting the Legos here and figuring out what you do with the thousands that are left over. But
you have the
time and energy.
Yeah, you have this whole new kind of virgin territory. I mean, unexplored territory for the radio ministry, which is the marketplace. I mean, you're here where a lot of people stop by and walk in and drop by. And not only that, but you're in such a location that easily you can create these destination events. You know, I think back a couple of years ago when you had the big, huge thing at your house. You had the big white tent up there, and Omer Ishel came down, and you had music. You had like the Baptists celebrated the potluck you had because, I mean, it took up your whole garage. It was like a Baptist. It was like heaven for Baptists. You know, there's more crock pots than I think I've ever seen. But as great as that event was, the only people who were probably going to arrive at that event were going to be listeners and people who knew of the radio station, and then were going to travel to where you were.
Right.
You know, because your house is, that's out of the way. It's a destination. They got to, but now, because you're in the marketplace, the opportunity for you to have people who show up who know nothing about Jesus, know nothing about the radio ministry, know nothing about any of that, but come and interact and hear the gospel message. And if anything, walk away and go, gosh, I spent time with the nicest people in the world. You know, these people were so nice, not knowing that we're not naturally nice. It's just because the grace of God is with us. It's upon us. We're exuding the grace of God and the love of Christ. And so I think that's like this territory that the radio ministry is in right now that, you know, it's almost like pioneering.
Yeah.
You know, trying to figure out, you know, okay, this is great, but now we need somebody to count the wagon wheels for us, and we need somebody to go down to the river and get water, because we're pioneering, we're moving ahead in this place. But I think there's so many opportunities for people to hear the message of the gospel that they might never have heard before.
Well, that has happened a few weeks ago when they had the Home Garden and Design Expo here, and we had the singing men in the food court, and we packed the food court, and one of the WCIA staff members who talked with me, he's a believer, listens to the station, loves Adventures in Odyssey. He said one of his staff members who doesn't go to church was captivated by the singing men and stood there through like three or four of the selections that we sang. And then the Piatti staff and some of the other people, and then just people walking in, they were just sitting there. And you could just tell that they'd maybe never heard the gospel presentation as we delivered it. And then when we're at Marketplace Mall for our Christmas concert, I know a number of the food court people. I've eaten at the food court, and they always love having us back, and many of them just say, I love you guys singing and the message you share, and I don't go to church, but I think it's great that you guys come out. And so it has been very unique. And having something like a Lego day where parents that are just strolling through, or the walkers that are in the mall, or as you mentioned, this is a destination place. There's a fitness center here and some other stores that people come in here that would stop and rub shoulders or rub next to these believers. And hopefully that fragrance of Christ is at work, where I love when we have an activity and Christians are being Christ followers, where it's really appealing. And so,
well, when you go to certain places, when you go to destinations, you're armed for that destination. Whatever it is, you prepared yourself, hey, I'm going to this thing, I know what I kind of, you know, if somebody comes to see the singing men at a church, they're armed for that situation in terms of they have expectations, they know what it's going to be like, they're ready to receive. When people come to somewhere like here at Lincoln Square Mall, they're disarmed. They're coming, and maybe they're armed to go to the store, to the fitness center, but they're not armed to hear the gospel. So it's a disarming moment like that, where the person from WCIA probably wasn't expecting that they were going to be captivated by the singing men. And so there was a place where God kind of did this thing where he allowed this person to be overwhelmed in a way they weren't ready to be overwhelmed. They weren't armed to be overwhelmed in it. So I think that's one of the beauties of the marketplace. That's why I think you and I have talked about always the danger of kind of trying to create a destination place. Instead of, you know, Paul went to the marketplace in terms of sharing the gospel. He went in Athens to this sea of idols to find the one thing that nobody was talking about. And that one thing was God. That one thing was Jesus. And so in Lincoln Square Mall, I'm just going to be honest, I think probably the last thing that somebody comes here who doesn't know who Jesus is, the last thing they expect that they're going to hear somebody talk to them about is Jesus. Yeah. And so here in kind of the sea of idols, you know, the fitness center and the law office and the jewelry store and the art store and all that, the kind of sea of idols, here you're presenting Jesus Christ, the one thing that nobody's talking about. I think that's powerful. And then how do you then take some of those things and create opportunities where people, I mean, what a beautiful thing. I mean, I would just venture to say that any naysayer would be put to silence if you did like a Lego day and you had 100 kids who were able to hear the gospel message and be able to interact and be able to, I would argue you couldn't find somebody who'd be like, well, that's just wrong. I would think they'd all be like, holy moly, never even thought about this. And yet, that's our job. I mean, if you read Titus, the job of older men, and so anybody is older as long as somebody younger is in the room, right? So I mean, this is funny because I said to some guy, he was 30, and I said, you know, Titus says the older men should walk with the younger men and teach them, you know. And he goes, well, I'm not an older man. I said, yeah, but you're older than the students we have.
Yeah.
And so the Bible's real clear. You know, if your birthday comes after the guy who you're with, you're the older man. So you're, but, you know, avenues where older men can walk with younger people and older women can teach the younger women too. I wonder how many of the things that we are frustrated about culturally today would take care of themselves if we would do some of those simple commands the Bible says to walk alongside people. And so I think here in the marketplace, you've got this great opportunity to walk alongside people in a way where they're not prepared to be walked along, but yet they really need to be. And they know it. You know, I forget what author it says, but he coined the phrase, you know, people are walking around with a God-sized hole in their heart. Mm-hmm. And so how do we fill that? Or how do we at least poke it? You know, I don't even know if filling it is our job. That's going to be God and His Holy Spirit. But how do we as Christians poke at it a little bit and let them know that it's there, remind them that it's there, and also remind them that, you know what, there is a God who desires so much to fill it. He desires to fill it full of Himself and to give you joy and peace and contentment that you probably don't have otherwise.
Yeah. Well, one of those things that we're doing to maybe poke at people is that resource table out in front here. And I told some people, I don't think I've said this on the air, but tongue in cheek, you know, the many a truth and jest. But I said, you know, we look at the center and this new studio and the prayer gathering room in here and facilitating board meetings and ministry and outreach to internationals and the singing men rehearsals. And I said, you know, when it's all said and done, I may get to heaven and find out, you know, Mark, that whole center was not for what you thought it was. It was so you could have that resource table in the front doors for the hundreds of people that pick up our daily bread and pick up radio literature and maybe tune in, or we have various tracks and unshackled pamphlets. And I see people every single day picking up something or stopping and looking at it. And you had said, but there needs to be Bibles out there. So I will say the Gideons, this month of May coming up, they're going to be one of the honored ministries in the area. So I'm working on getting some Gideon Bibles. So we'll have those on the table out there.
I think that's great.
And then the other side, I think it's going to be Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative. I think May is Electricity Month or Electricity Safety Month or something. So
isn't every month Electricity Month now these days?
But we're featuring different businesses up in our big bay windows. But another thing that as people walk by, they look in and see. Yeah. But the other thing I was thinking with that food court, you know, 125 or so chairs, 20-something tables where people can gather and meet and rub shoulders and, you know, whether it's the Lego thing or something else, it just seems to be so ideal to hold different events or gatherings or functions. And so I keep praying, Lord, how can we maximize this opportunity? Yeah. We're here. We have this walk-in traffic. How can we reach them?
Yeah.
And then even that big blackboard across, I'm going to get a chalk soon. I got to get chalk here. People can come and put drawings or sayings or things on this wall. And I thought, gosh, we could take that opportunity to share some encouraging words. So I got to figure out how to maximize that and have friends that come in here. Take a piece of chalk before you leave and write something on that wall.
Yeah, write something on there.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what God's vision is. I do rely and trust and appreciate the many people that do pray daily. That's probably the greatest strength of this radio ministry is.
Yeah.
And I can't just say the senior saints, because there's little children that probably pray prayers that I don't know if it turns the hand of God, but I'm sure God delights in that little innocent child say, you know, oh God, bless Great News Radio, or use Adventures in Odyssey to touch other children, to the senior saint that has, you know, a great deal of time that can really think through, Lord, use this ministry in my life and different people's lives. And so I'd ask that you continue to pray as we move forward in the coming days and years and see how God would lead and keep us focused so we're not deluded doing too many things, but we always primarily focus on educating, edifying, and evangelizing. Mm-hmm. And use the various creative means, whether it's an event that we put on or prayer gatherings or teachings. I know we haven't talked about it yet, but we're still talking about a mm-hmm. discipleship 6 or 8 week series on maybe a Tuesday night, because I think you're going to do that in your church. I saw that in somebody's bulletin. I'm like, oh, shoot, I wonder if you're doing it on Wednesday nights if mm-hmm. Tuesday nights will still be a possibility here.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
All right, we'll talk about that.
We're not going to dilute, but let's talk about some.
Well, that's what we're all about, discipleship and helping people learn to not only become disciples of the Lord Jesus, but replicate that where they're, what's it called, developing the disciples?
Yeah, well, making disciples. I mean, it is Titus. It is older men walk alongside younger men, teach them what it means to be a man of God, where the potholes are and where the guardrails are, and older women teach the younger women what it means to be a woman of God, to be everybody wants to be a Proverbs 31 woman, but nobody wants to be the Proverbs 31 woman who's pouring that into another woman, to teach her what it looks like. And so, you know, I just think about all the, we call them in our church now seasoned women, all the seasoned women who need to help the unseasoned women out and point them in the right direction. Show them what it means to love your husband for not just 10 years and then divorce, but to love your husband for 60 years and to end well. And to love your husband, you know, this is one of the things that I learned recently just from some of the funerals that we've had to go to. Love your husband in such a way that when you pass away, he can't not stop thinking about you and misses you so much. I mean, there's a real opportunity for us to pour into that next generation, but nothing changes unless we do that.
Yeah. All right, everyone. A lot to think about today. Pray through and be involved in, and we trust that as God equips you for this very day, His providence will direct you in special ways for you to be used for Him. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.